Hello, guys, and welcome back to Crime Central Podcast. This is Michaela.
This is Erin.
And today we actually have a special guest with us here to share their experience at a place that I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a haunted asylum called Ashmore Estates in Illinois. I have a friend here with me. His name's Ryan. If you want to say hello.
Hello.
I don't know if it picked up right now.
It did.
Okay. So what we're going to do, guys, is I'm going to kind of give you like a little background on this place. And then we're going to have Ryan tell you what he experienced when he was there. He's told me before, and it was crazy what he was experiencing. So a little bit on the background of this place.
Ryan, feel free to add in whenever you want to. If you have, like, anything to add in to the history that we're going to give to it, you're more than welcome to.
All right.
So from 1857 until 1869, the Coles County Poor Farm was located in Charleston Township near the small town of Loxa, Illinois. It's Loxa. In 1870, the county purchased 260 acres from A.N. Graham in Section 35 of Ashmore Township for a new farm, which sat astride the Indianapolis and St. Louis Railroad. Cool, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got this.
The small timber and brick building constructed by H.B. Truman was the first to sit on that property. It was 38 by 58 feet and 2 stories tall with an attached kitchen. Many residents, or inmates as they were called, died at the farm, and the county maintained a small cemetery somewhere north of the grounds. In 1879, Joshua Ricketts, superintendent of the county farm at the time, had recorded 32 deaths out of the roughly 250 inmates who had stayed at the farm between 1870 and 1879. Another pauper cemetery, established a few years later, still exists south of Route 16 and now contains the graves of between 60 to 100 persons.
Yikes. That's kind of creepy.
I know. The Board of State Commissioners of Public Charities visited the poor farm in 1902. As for the condition of the mentally ill at the farm, they wrote, "There is no special provision for the insane. None are locked up or in restraint." By 1911, the Auxiliary Committee of the State Board of Charities condemned the almshouse for its vermin-infected walls, rough floors, small windows, and improper ventilation. It was reported that flies swarmed everywhere and were especially noticeable on the poor food prepared for dinner. Did you, like, notice anything, like, really awful about the structure of the building, Ryan?
Not so much. Robin, the guy that bought the place, I guess it was a couple years before we went there, he actually done a lot of renovations, and he was still doing renovations, and he had it cleaned up pretty good, so.
Well, I guess that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, in January 1915, the Almshouse Committee received bids for the construction of a new fireproof building at the location, so that's probably why he didn't notice.
Yeah.
Okay, I can't scroll down.
Oh, yeah, just push the down button.
It wasn't working because it wasn't on the thing. All right. The building contract for the new almshouse was granted to J.W. Montgomery in March for $20,389. And the cornerstone was ceremoniously laid on May 17th, 1916. Can you imagine? For $20,000?
And isn't this place pretty big, Ryan?
The building, yeah, it's fairly big. I mean, it's not huge, but it's a three-story building. And, yeah, I mean, it's a good-sized building.
Wow, for $20,000, I wish.
All right. Coles County sold the almshouse to Ashmore Estates in February 1959. The corporation opened the building as a private psychiatric hospital by the same name. In October 1964, after only 5 years in operation, the psychiatric hospital closed down because of debt. The institution reopened in 1965 but changed its focus from a private facility to one that accepted patients from state mental institutions. By 1968, the shelter of the care facility housed 49 residents, including 10 afflicted with epilepsy. Paul Swineford and Galen Martini purchased the institution in July 1976. Swineford and Martini invested over $200,000 in the construction of a modern addition onto the old building. Construction began in 1977 but was not finished until the 1980s. Once the addition to Ashmore Estates had been completed, the rest of the building was brought up to code. The institution's future appeared brighter. In February 1986, Paul Swineford entered into a limited partnership with Peoria-based company known as Convalescent Management Associates, Inc., to help manage the institution's finances. The departments of public aid and public health dragged their feet over the issuance of proper licenses and certificates for nearly a year, leading to Swineford to file permission from the Illinois Health Facility Planning Board to close the facility. At that time, Ashmore Estates' financial losses exceeded $1.5
million. Whoa.
By the end of April, all the residents had been transferred to area homes and Ashmore Estates closed its doors.
Wow.
In 1988, a resident of Sullivan named Arthur Kohlkuscher paid $12,500 for the property.
That's nuts.
Wow. And announced that he planned to renovate the building and turn it into his home. However, continuous vandalism prevented him from ever realizing his plans. In August 2006, Scott Kelly purchased Ashmore Estates from Arthur Kohlkuscher and began renovating. To finance the project, the Kellys offered flashlight tours of the interior. To discourage trespassers, they erected signs and moved onto the property. Their haunted house opened on October 13th, 2006. In the off-season, Scott offered overnight stays in the building.
Whoa.
I didn't know that. In January 2013, Ashmore Estates was hit by a fierce storm, with wind speeds reaching 80 to 100 miles per hour. Ashmore Estates suffered heavy damage. Its roof was blown off and the support gables were destroyed. Shortly thereafter, new owners took over the property and made plans to restore the building to its former glory. On May 3rd, 2014, Ashmore Estates came under new ownership and is now owned by Robin and Norma Terry. During their first few weeks of ownership, there were huge strides made to clean up and restore Ashmore Estates. After less than 2 years of owning the property, some huge improvements have been made. The building has gone from people saying they would never go back to booking each year, and in some cases, coming back more than once in the same year. If you have not experienced Ashmore Estates under the new ownership, you owe it to yourself to do so.
Whew. Ryan, didn't you tell me that, like, Ghostbusters or somebody did a story there?
The
Ghostbusters?
Ghost Adventures.
It's Ghost Adventures.
They've done a show from there, yeah.
Did I just say Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
Woo, okay. So Ghost Adventures did then, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. All right, so do you want to go ahead and tell us what you and Sarah experienced there?
Yeah, sure. I guess the first thing we experienced was actually on the tour. We were up on the second floor by the nurse's station, and Sarah had her pants pulled on, and she thought it was me, and she turned around and said, "Stop, you know, what are you doing? Stop it." I wasn't even anywhere close to her. I didn't tug on her pants. So that was the first thing that happened. And then we went back downstairs to the break room, and they were, you know, kind of getting us prepared to go out on our own. So everybody kind of took off and was kind of wandering downstairs. Well, the third floor was, kind of the main psychiatric part of the building. You know, and they say that's the most haunted floor is the third floor. So as everybody took off, me and Sarah went straight up to the third floor. And we went into a room, or I went into a room. Sarah stayed out in the hallway, but she could see me in there. So I was just kind of walking around. We weren't saying anything, just, I guess, kind of trying to see if we could hear anything or feel anything. I was standing next to an old bed that had been there for who knows how long. There was no mattress, just the metal springs on it. And I just kind of started feeling different. And then I just got super cold. I mean, And Sarah said, what's the matter? And I said, it feels like I'm standing in front of the freezer with the door open. I mean, it was cool. It was Halloween night, but it wasn't anything like that. I didn't know it until a little bit later. Sarah told me, she said, there was a big black shadow of a man standing right behind you the entire time, but I didn't want to say anything.
Whoo.
Yeah.
Sarah, why didn't you say anything?
My ass would have ran.
Yeah, so that happened. Let's see, what else was there? I got a recording there at the nurse's station not too long after that. I'm down on the second floor. It was on my old phone. I have no idea what happened to it, but it was just me and Sarah and one other lady up there, I believe. So I just decided to hit record on my phone and just see what happened. And about 20 seconds into it, it was completely silent. But on my phone, you can hear what sounded like a guy just kind of clearing his throat, like right beside me. Nobody was saying a word, nothing. But that showed up on my phone.
Wow.
So.
Oh,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Did you say you experienced something like in the basement of it?
Yeah, down in the boiler room. You walk into a room, and it's just kind of a small room, and then there's like three or four steps that you walk down, and it actually goes into the boiler room. And then beyond that little room is actually another room. So it's like, well, this was towards the end of the evening. Well, we haven't been down there yet, so we walked down there, and I got right to the top of those steps, getting ready to walk down the steps, and it's just... Something just told me, do not go any further than this. Do not walk down these steps. And I have no idea why. I tried to take a step, couldn't do it. And I just turned around and walked back out. So I went to the break room, and a lady was in there. She'd been at Ashmore numerous times. She's been on tons of investigations, things like that. And she knows all the history of Ashmore. And she said, what's the matter? I said, well, I went in the boiler room. I couldn't go in there. I said, it's like I just walked into a wall. I said, I could not walk down the steps. And whatever man is supposed to be down there, she said, he does not like men. If you could, you know, he does not want men down there. She said, do you want to go down there? I said, well, I don't know. She said, I'll tell you what. We'll get a group of women together, and you go with us, and you'll be fine. So there was about six women and me went down there. Walked down the steps, through the boiler room into the other room. There was a few chairs there in that room. You're just sitting there. And they said, you know, the lady kept asking me, do you feel okay? Yeah, I feel all right. I feel all right. And then I said, I have to sit down. She goes, why? I said, I feel like I'm about ready to fall off the edge of the building. I said, I have vertigo really bad. I said, I have to sit down. I did not feel right the rest of the night happened. I couldn't explain it. It just felt like I was just going to walk right off the edge of a building. I said, I have to sit down. I'm getting dizzy. I have to sit.
Wow.
So we sat there for a little bit, and then I had to get out of there.
That's so wild.
So.
Well, and I had also remembered you telling me that a local meteorologist, Kevin Orbert, was there.
Local meteorologist, Kevin Orbert.
Yeah.
I love how you had to say it like that.
You said he was there, and, like, something broke his arm?
Yeah, I guess he was doing kind of like a Halloween deal, kind of like we were doing, but... I guess him and like the weather, the news station or whatnot was putting it on, but I guess he was there and he said he was sitting in a chair, and he said the next thing he knew, he was on the floor with a broken shoulder. He said it felt like somebody just picked him up and threw him on the ground. But yeah, I guess he'd broken his shoulder.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like this is a place that Mikayla would for sure go to.
Oh, yeah. So, like, I've actually been to a place where Ghost Adventures did hunt. Up in Wisconsin, there's this little inn that was originally called the Karsten Inn, but now it's the Kewanee Inn. You can Google it if you want to. But they had, like, 2 fires in the place, and they just kept rebuilding and stuff like that. There's about 4 entities, I think, that they've discovered in there so far. One of them is an unknown entity. It's really not nice. It's shoved somebody down the stairs before. Yeah. And there's Mr. Carson, who when you walk through the building, on, I think it's the 2nd floor, it feels like you're being watched, like, by some weird creepy perv. If you're a female, it really does feel like you're being stared at, like, oddly sexually. You know what I mean? That Whoa. Stare. You know what I'm talking about, Aaron?
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like that. And then you have Billy, who is a little boy, and my little brother gave him a toy, and it moved. Yeah, that was pretty nuts. Mm-hmm. There have been reports of kids throwing balls and then them getting thrown back at them. The kids can see Billy. I don't think an adult has ever actually seen Billy, but there have been several cases in which kids were playing with him. Then there's... That's me.
Oh.
And then there's one. Her name is Agatha, and I really liked Agatha. Everybody always says that she's mean, but I actually thought she's pretty nice. She hates men. She does. She hates men. Her room is kind of, like, creepy set up. There's, like, 3 or 4, like, really old, weird-looking dolls. Her picture's on the wall in there. She's really cool. She was in love with Mr. Carson, the one who first, you know, owned the Carson Inn. She didn't actually die at the hotel like Billy did and Mr. Carson did. They died in the fire. That was his grandson, by the way. Billy was.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Carson's grandson. She actually died on her farm. They think the reason why her entity, her soul's still there, is because she was so obsessed with Mr. Carson. She was madly in love with him. But she was a worker there for a really long time for Mr. Carson, you know, stuff like that. It was everywhere on her floor, like, around her room, always smelled like flowers to me, you know, like, the really nice, not super strong scented flowers. It was always like flowers to me. But I think the scariest part was I was walking by her room and I could hear footsteps behind me. So I stopped. I was the only one on the floor. And I stopped and I looked around just to make sure. And I was like, I'm probably just hearing things. So I took like 3 steps forward and I didn't hear anything. So I stopped, you know, and then I heard 3 steps behind me. And I was like, okay, I'm going to just nope out of this. Thank you. And the top floor at the hotel, I could not go on because you know how you said that you experienced vertigo, Ryan?
Uh-huh.
On the top floor, every time I took a step up there, I would feel the same thing. I almost fell down the stairs because of it. I couldn't go on the floor for some reason. They were like, that's where the really dark entity lays up there, the one that always messes with people. And I'm like, I can't go up there. I always got super dizzy and really lightheaded. I'm like, please, can we just not go up there, guys? Everybody's like, let's go up there. Let's see what happens. And I'm like, I can't even make it up the stairs all the way. Like, I feel like I'm going to pass out.
Yeah, no, if I were to be in either of these places, it better be fucking daylight.
It was daylight for me.
Oh, hell no, then. Because
it was like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Nope.
No, thank you.
I would have, like, as soon as I saw, like, a ball get thrown back at a child, my ass would have noped right the fuck out.
My grandma actually worked at this hotel just, you know, for fun. She was bored and she wanted something to do, so the new owners of the Kewanee Inn were like, oh, totally, we'll hire you part-time. So she was a housekeeper there. She said, I just wanted something to do. And I'm like, so you worked at a haunted hotel? And she's like, I guess, yeah.
Could she get up on the 3rd floor?
Yeah. She could get up on the 3rd floor.
Well, there you go, Ryan. There's a new place for you to go. Wisconsin.
She said the weirdest things was that, like, furniture would get moved on them and stuff. After they'd clean rooms, The worst thing was they handled, like, a really... Somebody stayed in Agatha's room, a young couple did, and they were screamed at for, like, 45 minutes by these people because they threw... Agatha threw their clothes everywhere. All the guys' clothes were all over the room. Everywhere. And the housekeeping didn't do it, and I can say that, like, for a fact because my grandma was one of the housekeepers, and it did not occur.
Yeah, no. Nope. Aaron will never attend either of these places. He was, so a little background of how I know Ryan. Do you care if I say, like, what you do?
No, that's fine.
Okay, he works for UPS, and, for the past 2 years, I did the seasonal help around Christmas time because it gets really busy, and both years I ended up on his truck, and, so I think it was this past year he was telling me, you know, about Ashmore Estates, and, so I know he's, like, into that stuff, so, yeah, that's why I was like, yeah, now you're gonna have to check out, Wisconsin now. But I think when he told me that, I was, like, ready to just jump off that truck. Because I was like, oh, shit, what if something, like, followed you to work or something? But, yeah, no, that's really creepy, your experience there. Oof, how do you sleep at night?
I don't know. It doesn't bother me. I mean, it was a little freaky that night, but... I have no idea how I can sleep after that.
I'd be, like, sleeping at Michaela's just, every night.
Just keep in mind, guys, that I live inside of an old asylum already. Mm-hmm. That's, like, allegedly haunted. Some dude down the hallway, one of the other people that lived here, they died inside of their apartment, and they weren't discovered for, like, a couple, like, a good week or so.
Where?
Just down the hall.
Oh, hell no!
In Tyler's apartment, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, see, that's why I was like, girl, are you sure you want to live there?
I haven't noticed anything at all. Sometimes I feel like I'm being watched, but honestly, that's pretty much anywhere you go. I feel like that's a pretty standard feeling, you know?
Yeah. Definitely.
I haven't noticed anything creepy. I was watching a video on, like, this weird demon, and one time, like, my mirror flew open in my bathroom, but that's about it.
Did you actually go in there and shut it?
No. I just shrugged.
Okay, I'm just letting you guys know, if that happened while I was here, I would have ran straight out the door, and I would have hoped I got the door open before I ran through it.
Yeah, I can imagine, like, cartoon skedaddle. Like, you're, like, building up momentum before you actually shoot forward.
Yup.
With, like, the bongos going in the background.
Yep, and then you just see my silhouette through that door. Mm-hmm. Then your landlord's gonna be like, what happened? Be like, my friend got spooked.
It's Aaron. Aaron has to pay for the damages.
It's Aaron. That's the only explanation we need. It's Aaron. All right. Well, thank you, Ryan, for joining us. That was awesome to hear.
Yeah. No problem.
Super intense.
Definitely. Like, I was just, like, looking at Michaela. I'm like, ooh, this just creeps me out hearing it. But yeah, we'll have to have you back on sometime if you're cool with that. This was fun. We hope you guys enjoyed hearing this. I know I did for sure.
Let us know if you like us having guests on here, even though it's over the phone. Dude, I told Aaron, but you know, like, the whole COVID thing makes actually coming and seeing people in person really hard, you know?
Yes.
And I know that, like, restrictions are lightening up, but it's better safe than sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
especially with you starting a new job, you don't want to go and then right. all of a sudden, like, 2 days later be sick and then you can't do anything because...
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm definitely not coming back up to Sullivan for seasonal this year.
All
right. but yeah, we hope you guys enjoyed this, and we will release this soon. It might be a bonus episode. It might be a Friday episode. Guess we'll never know. I mean, eventually we will. Right now we don't, though. but we love you guys, and we hope you guys keep tuning in.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.